Welcome back to In Your Corner, a podcast by Men's Fight Club specifically for men. We will be covering subjects weekly to address things that men do, things that men shouldn't do, and things that men should aspire to do. All this is designed to encourage men to want to become better fathers, better husbands, better brothers, better sons, and ultimately the leader that they were designed to be. We will bring in special guests to shed light from experience as they speak from wisdom on an unscripted format. So let's hear from the men in your corner. Let's go.
So thanks so much for joining us today. I just want to say this podcast is going to be exciting. I'm excited for it. And it's brought to you today by Integral Solutions. Integral Solutions is your life coach and mentoring needs for men and for teams to do team building and be able to put people together. So today I just want to talk to you about a quick subject. Our subject today is about the importance of men's fellowship, why we need men in our life. And I have here with me today a good friend of mine, Brother Brent Williams, amazing man of God. I've been able to spend a lot of time with this brother, been able to do some work with him in ministry, a lot of work with him in the housing market, and it's been amazing to be able to be with this brother. And he's actually the one that actually introduced me to the podcast setup. So I want to tell you once and for all, dude, thank you so much for helping me set this up, and it's a pleasure to have you with me today.
Man, it's awesome, man. You got a lot of things going on.
Yes, sir.
That intro was amazing. I'm kind of like, do I even belong here right now? That's kind of where I'm at.
Well, 2 years ago is when I first started talking about doing this podcast, and it was a great vision I had. I'd already started writing down subjects, and not only did I write down subjects, I got kind of uncomfortable, and I was like, well, I got all these subjects, but who do I know that's going to fill these talks with me?
Right.
And then one day I'm just sitting there, and I started writing down names, and don't you know, at the moment I wrote down the names, I realized I wrote down exactly the amount of names I needed for exactly the amount of topics I wanted to cover.
There you go. That's the burning bush right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's just amazing.
That's the burning bush.
So like I said, I want to talk to you about men's fellowship and why that's so important.
Well, let me say something real quick. Thanks. Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here. You know, I was blown away by your intro there and all that you got going on. But, man, it's equally an honor for me to be able to be in this place sitting here with you. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, and one thing I've talked with Brent before we actually started this, I actually want a guest on here that we're not teaching these things. These are people that's already doing it. And Brent's a big part of our life when it comes to doing men's ministry and coming to do men's fellowship. And he leads a small group with his local church, and he's just really involved. And the thing is he's got a group of men that he works with, that he worships with, and that he does life with. And that's very important. So it's not something new to him. He's actually very much into what we're talking about today. And that's the reason why I got him on this podcast. I think it's very important that when we bring people on this show here that we're able to actually talk about things we already know.
Right.
It's not new information for us.
No.
And for those that are listening, we're hoping that this information helps you to be able to understand what we're talking about. So today, with men's fellowship, one thing I want to talk about is, we learn quickly because we do all our stuff is Bible-based. One thing we learned is, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron, right. So a man sharpens another. I think that's very important, but it's more important to me to understand what's being said. When we're talking about sharpening iron, we're talking about taking iron and sharpening iron. That's really not a good process.
No, that's pain.
Yeah, it's pain.
It's pain.
It's a grinding. It's somebody's got to be abrasive and to be able to knock off your edges. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think best when we're talking about, especially like this name, In Your Corner, who's in your corner, and we're talking about men's fellowship, I think the best thing to do is get around guys that are a little bit further along than you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Because those are the guys who's fought the battles, right?
That's right.
I mean, those are the guys who's kind of went ahead of you in some regards. And it doesn't mean that in some areas they don't need you too, because it is iron sharpening iron.
That's right.
So that's a big key. But at the same time, yeah, you need, I've often said before, I want to be beside somebody who doesn't have shiny armor.
Yes.
I want to be beside somebody who's got some battle scars on that armor,
and maybe
even some wounds.
Before.
Right, somebody's been to war, because that's what we want to be around, right? We want to be around those people because they know what it's all about.
Exactly.
So, yeah, absolutely. I agree with that.
Exactly. I've heard it said a while back, if I go into the room and I'm the smartest person in the room, I'm in the wrong room.
Right.
You know, right. There's times that you want to have those teaching moments. You want to go in there, you want to be able to deliver a lot to some guys.
Right.
But for the most part, we should be in there listening and learning and growing. You know right. what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. And I surround myself according to that Paul Timothy Barnabas principle.
Yes.
That's my favorite version of anything I get out of the Bible. I know my calling in life is to be a mentor and to be a disciple maker. That's what God's mm-hmm. called me to do. And I do that through teaching. And so with that being said, I understand the Paul Timothy Barnabas principle. I need a guy that's above me that I can learn from.
Right.
I need brothers I can run with that are doing life with me. And now I need some guys I can pour into.
Absolutely.
And I think that's very important. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a young man either.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes some of the guys I teach are a lot older than I am.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm learning from some guys that are older than me. And I'm really learning a lot from this next generation.
Yeah.
You know, well, I used to look down on this next generation. I'm like, man, what a mess they are. They're lazy. They don't want to do nothing. But who allowed that to happen?
Yeah. They're a victim of their environment, right?
Yes.
And they don't know any better. You know, we do foster care, as you know. Part of our ministry, me and my wife's ministry, is to be involved with foster care. And one of the first things I realized when we started doing that is my normal is not their normal.
That's right.
So I had to learn to adapt to that because they're coming in, bringing in stuff, you know, in an environment that was definitely not healthy for them. So we had to learn to, I don't want to use the word reprogramming because that's probably not the right way. But what we did have to do is we had to teach them. We had to get back to the basics. We don't do this. We don't use that language here. You have to do that. It's the same way really with any ministry, mm-hmm. especially young people like you were talking about. They're just part of what they've been raised in, and we have to help guide them in that,
yeah,
whatever that looks like.
Well, when it says iron sharpens iron, you know, their iron and your iron may be different.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or theirs may be a lot smoother than yours is. And so a lot of times, you know, this is one thing I was telling the guys the other day when I was ministering with them. I've read the Bible, and I've not seen in there where I say, God, hey, change that person, that it works.
Mm, right.
But every single time I'm praying, God, change them, what happens? He's changing me.
He's changing me.
So even the parts I don't agree with, God is revealing through other men new ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I would never understand that until I got in these situations to be able to do life with these guys.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When it comes to sharpening iron, too, I also think about this. If you have an axe, and you got an axe that's heavy, well, like what we call a maul.
Mm-hmm.
You can split wood with it, yeah, but you really can't cut wood unless that axe is sharp. What you can do is a lot of damage to wood.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So without being properly sharpened, you're really doing damage. You're not cutting clean. And I think that's so important when it comes to men's fellowship, that we've got some guys around us that help us to make the necessary clean cuts, to remove the things from our life instead of just going out there laying damage on people.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I think it's so important. And learning how to communicate with people. You know, as men, we're terrible communicators.
Yeah.
You know, two things we are, terrible communicators, and the other one is we're terrible finishers.
Mm-hmm.
We start whatever and do a great job starting, but we are terrible finishers.
Right.
And then we're great talkers, terrible listeners.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Guilty.
So I think when we get started with this whole iron sharpens iron concept, when we get started with men's fellowship, the best way to be impactful is follow through.
Yeah.
See to the end. Not only say what you got to say, but listen for the response. That's the only way we could improve.
Yeah, I think so. Of course, the biggest element I think in that is being sensitive to the spirit, because mm-hmm. and knowing when you're not the right tool,
yes.
and going and getting the right tool. You know, if you're working, for instance, if you're working with a young person or whoever, older person, but you've come to a place where you can't really help them because it's a circumstance that maybe you don't know. Maybe principle wise, you can give them some good advice, but you know a guy, right?
That's right. I was fixing to say that.
You know, we know a guy, so we go get the guy, right?
That's right.
That's what we do, and we plug in. That doesn't mean you're leaving that guy stranded. You're going to come back into his life, but for right now, he needs a different type of instrument. You know, he doesn't need that axe you were talking about. He needs something else.
That's right.
So that it's that sensitivity to what God's trying to do in that moment that really makes it either a masterpiece or a mess.
That's right.
Really?
That's
you know,
right.
So that's something else we have to consider, I think.
Yeah, and I think, too, when we're talking about different styles of people, different things to bring to the table. Some people are more abrasive than others.
Yes.
Some people can be one thing in one season of your life and be something totally different in another.
Absolutely.
So you could have a guy that could be the guy that knocks off your rough edges today, but he may be the one that polishes you to the smoothest finish and the sharpest point you could ever have later. You just don't know.
Yeah.
And so that's why we got to be very sensitive to the men in our life that are now here. What's their role? I tell guys like this, you know, if you look at the platform that Jesus uses in the Bible, he's got his one, that's John the Beloved. He's got his three, Peter, James, and John, okay? And so those guys is another circle. Then he's got his 12, all his disciples. Then he's got his 70, and then he's got his multitude, okay? Now, at different seasons in our life, you may be in my three today, but next year you may be in my multitude.
That's right.
That's right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you might be my three, but to me, but to you, I may be in your 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very important that through relationship, we discover who we are, so we play our roles accordingly.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I think our whole goal, critical. It's critical.
Our whole goal is not to advance. I don't have to be your one, but I got to make sure that you know that when I'm in there, whatever part I'm playing, I'm there for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like when you said, we're in a business if I know a guy. That's right. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know where I learned that from?
Where?
Will Gross Goff.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I never heard that before until I met you. I think that's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, it's incredible.
It's something I've used for a tool for a while. And that's what it is. So if you need a plumber, I know a guy.
Right.
If you need an electrician, I know a guy. You need a mechanic, I know a guy. You need a savior, I know a guy.
Oh, yeah.
I know a guy. You know, and that's what's so important about learning life together, because you don't ever get deep testimonies until you get close enough to hear pain.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's rock hard right there, man. That's some good stuff.
And for real.
That's real.
And a lot of people are not going to actually open up, you know. When they got stuff that's already been healed over, it's hard for them to open the wounds back up.
Mm-hmm.
But when they can see it can make an impact in a person's life, they'll willingly do it.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's so important. Like when we speak to men, you know, with Men's Fight Club, we go in this order: value, integrity, character, purity.
Right.
So when I speak to your value, when I start talking to that, I say, hey, Brent, you know, I think you're a heck of a guy. I think the guy's going to do mighty things in your life. I think you're an amazing husband and all that stuff. But if I was to say, hey, Brent, stop looking at that girl.
Mm.
I seen you checking that girl out, which we know it ain't true, but I'm saying,
scared of my wife to be looking at no women. So.
But I'm just saying, if I attacked your purity first, you wouldn't listen to me.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
No, that's right.
If I approached you the right way, all of a sudden you look at me as a different kind of man.
Right.
Like, this guy is for me. You know,
yeah, it's building influence, right?
That's right.
That's what we do. When we're doing that, when we're coming into somebody's life and not picking them apart all the time, but we're building up that esteem. We're letting them know, hey, I see who you are, the good things.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have to address the harder things, the iron sharpening iron thing, when you have to take those rough edges off, it's a little bit easier to take that from somebody that has already told you, yeah, but I already know what you look like.
Yeah.
You might not be there, or you might be there, but I see that you can be more. Let's knock this edge off.
That's right.
It's a big deal.
That's right. I think that's our chance on earth to be experience a potter's wheel experience.
Yeah.
You know, because the worst thing people could say is only God could judge me.
That should scare you.
Yes. When it comes to God judging you, that's that last judgment.
Yeah.
There's no room for improvement.
Yeah.
So we're going to be fruit inspectors along the way because, you know, we know a guy.
Right.
You know, that's how it's supposed to be. Like I said, the Paul, Timothy, Barnabas principle, that's another thing. Know your position there. Who are you?
Mm-hmm.
To your sons right now, you're a Paul.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But to me, you're a Barnabas.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To somebody else, you're a Timothy.
Right.
When you got a mentor, you're a Timothy to them. So you got to know your role in all that. But no matter what, I think one of the best things we could be to everybody is a Barnabas.
Mm-hmm.
A son of encouragement.
Absolutely. Barnabas, if you don't know much about Barnabas, you need to go figure that out. Because let me tell you, that dude was awesome.
He was.
You know, we wouldn't have Paul if it wasn't for Barnabas.
Yeah.
He went and got him. Paul was, you know, after his conversion, Paul was off in somewhere, and Barnabas went and got him and brought him into the game. So we all know God brought him into the game. I don't want to get it twisted. But he used Barnabas for it.
That's right.
And so sometimes you can be there's probably somebody who's going to listen to this podcast as a Paul. But until they have a Barnabas in their life that they will let come get them, they're always just going to be sitting somewhere and be wasting their time.
That's right. And if you look, if it wasn't for Barnabas, working through Paul, we wouldn't have a Timothy, we wouldn't have a Titus. No. You see what I'm saying? There's so much we've missed out on because we don't know the impact we have on somebody else's life.
Absolutely.
You know, we don't. We can only hope. You know, we can only hope. And then with that hope, we just hope that what we're doing is investing.
Yeah.
So we're investing time, valuable time with them. And then I totally believe that, you know, the Bible says lay up your treasures in heaven. But if you look, nowhere in the Bible says you're putting any treasure in heaven besides people.
Right.
So if we invest in people, if you invest in people, that's what you're going to heaven with. So I think that's very important. You know, one thing I was teaching the other day with some men, and I said, how many here, I had them all raise their hand, how many here, you know, it's at a recovery program, how many here has ever heard, I'm going to be in prison or dead before I'm 21? Mm-hmm. Who told, anybody been told that? Every one of them raised their hand. Mm. I was no different. I heard the same thing. And why can people say that? Because they didn't take time to invest in my life, so their words mean nothing.
Right.
When it takes nothing to throw words at you, then they didn't invest in your life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think, and of course, you know how this works with me. Since I love to cook and stuff, and I
love to eat, and it's a great partnership.
Yeah, so, but since I do, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, if I'm going to meet somebody or do anything significant, I'm going to do it over a meal. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because then I'm not just investing in words. I'm investing money, time, energy, and a meal. And I believe this totally. If you could get somebody to take something from your hand, they'll take the words with it.
Yeah.
Because you're meeting a practical need. And that's really what fellowship does. You're meeting practical needs. You hang around each other. You do stuff. We found out a long time ago, I use this all the time in Men's Fight Club, if men will play together, they'll pray together.
Yeah. It's a great principle. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's truth.
So that's our whole goal, is to get people to interact. You know, the fact that you're a man, and you got a lot to talk about, because
mm-hmm.
I'm a man.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you're a dad, we got twice as much to talk about.
That's right.
You're a Christian dad, I got three times as much to talk about.
That's right.
We do ministry, there's four. Podcasts, there's five.
Right.
We got so much in common, there's no reason that we can't interact.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? But what happened is, somehow we get some distance in there because we feel like, oh, wait a minute, I can't relate to you because you don't look, talk, walk, or act like me.
Mm-hmm.
But you got more to offer than you think, and I can't figure that out until I spend time with each other.
Right. It's like that, what you're talking about there is the key that unlocks the door, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. But the further we walk away from the door, I've never been able to unlock a door from the other side of the room. Mm-mm. You know, we can't, we just can't do that. So we have to connect. We have to figure that out. Because like you're saying, we can't build a relationship any other way. It just doesn't happen that way. So yeah, it's critical. It's absolutely critical. I mean, let me say it like this, because this is a very personal, this is a very personal story. This is something I've never even told you. So this is a very personal thing for me, because my dad never took us to church. My mom was the one that took us to church my whole life. My dad, on occasions, would go and visit, and he knew God. He had a relationship with God, but you know, church hurt. Church hurt got involved, and he quit when I was really young. So mom carried that weight of taking us. And I was thinking about this the other day because, you know, we've been talking about this podcast and In Your Corner, Men's Fight Club. So my mind's kind of been pondering on this, and I started thinking back to my youth and how little my dad was involved. Now, my dad encouraged us to go, but he didn't go. And I got to thinking about that, and I remember growing up in that situation that I remember ladies of the church coming to our house and trying to compel my dad to go to church, but I don't remember any men ever coming to our house and trying to get my dad back into church. I can vividly remember women coming and talking to him and trying to encourage him. But there might have been those conversations with men. I am not privy to every conversation he ever had. But in my witness of what was happening, I never saw men come and try to bring my dad back. Now, the good part of that story, the end part of that, is later on in life, before my dad passed away, he did connect. He did connect to a church body, and he did rekindle that faith, and he was active in church. So it was a happy, before he died at 58, it was a happy story. You know, the last 4 or 5 years or so, he was back into a church community, and he was serving and doing good things. But here's my point. That damaged me.
Mm-hmm.
because I didn't have a father that was walking with the Father. So I went through all my childhood without that. My dad was a good man. Loved my dad. He gave me a good example to live by. But the bottom line was, he wasn't a Christian my whole life. And what did I miss out? And what did I not learn in those minutes? So this is kind of personal for me, because he didn't have that man to connect in this distance you were talking about earlier. So he didn't have that, because it was just maybe a stigma or whatever it was. There was walls built, and we didn't do those things back then. So we're talking 70s and 80s now. So, but yeah, that's my personal story of how that distance can affect not just the person, but the innocent bystander, which at me was a kid and an adolescent. Me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the sad story is, you know, because we live in such a fatherless generation, those that didn't have dads don't even have the experience of a dad that was a good dad.
Yeah.
And then you got those that did have dads that was present, but the dynamic of father has changed so much. Back when I was a kid, it was the dad was just the hard worker gone all day, putting a paycheck together, putting food on a table. So he wasn't a connective dad. And so these are things that we had to learn. A lot of us, our best influences are in our grandmothers. You know what I'm saying? It's not even, we don't really have a male role model. And I think that's the reason why when God put it on my heart to do Men's Fight Club, it was just for that question. You know, my pastor and I, we sat down and we was talking about the name for this, and he called it Fight Club. He said, "You remember the movie Fight Club?" I was like, "Yeah." And that's the reason why we put it together. In the movie Fight Club, the number one rule is you don't talk about Fight Club. Right. Well, that is the biggest issue.
Right.
Men have issues we don't talk about. And if we don't talk about them, we still battle the same issues.
Absolutely.
You know, the real warriors of this world will battle the things that most men will never talk about. They don't even want to acknowledge them.
Right.
And that's the reason why I struggle really becoming the man they need to be, because they keep them giants in the closet that they haven't slain yet.
Yeah. That's when it becomes multi-generational. Mm-hmm. You know, I look back, that story I just told about my dad, that was a different time, a different setting, but what you brought up just a second ago was very good. I think that's like on steroids now.
Yeah.
I mean, that there's a multiplier on that now, because we do have so much absentee fathers, and we do have single parent homes, and I can't really even comprehend that, because I at least had my parents together.
Yes.
You know, so it's even a bigger battle now. So.
And the thing too is, you know, I mean, I lived my life with, I had a stepdad who done the best he could to be a dad, and he was not a great dad at all. I had a natural father who wasn't around, so I didn't really have a good role model or anything like that. And I could actually go through my life miserable because I didn't have what I desired.
Right.
Or once I reached that age of accountability, I could go ahead and take responsibility for my own actions and stop blaming them and be like, if I didn't have a hero in my life, what's to stop me from being one for somebody else?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I already know what I missed out on.
Right.
I already know the things that I would like. I already know the things I wouldn't like. So therefore, I could start becoming that for somebody else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's really why I believe men's fellowship is so important.
Absolutely.
How do you give men what they need to have and help them to understand the importance of it so they'll want to do it for somebody else?
Right. Right.
And that's really what it comes down to.
It's changing the cycle. It's breaking the cycle.
There you go.
And if we don't have somebody that steps up and breaks the cycle, then the cycle won't be broken.
That's right.
It's just, that's right. That's how IQ that statement.
I think I might even jot that one down. If I use that later, I'll try to give you credit.
Well, just copy. I'm going to copyright it when I leave here. So
for the first two times I say it, I'll give you credit. Okay. After that, I'll say I always say.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right. So real quick, man, before we let this podcast run to an end, I've got some stuff I want to do. I want to try to do this with every guest. When you're training for a fight, especially like in boxing and when you're getting down to like actually running the endurance race of your training, boxing does a thing called speed bag drills, which is real fast, real fast pace. Yeah. All right, so I want to do something similar to that, and these are going to be 10 really good questions I'm going to put on you.
Okay,
and like I said, we do this all unscripted, so you have no answers.
I don't have a clue I'm kind of scared right now.
So what you say is your answer. All
okay,
right? So you want
to get a retake?
No, you don't. No. So. So you do get this, and you got to be fast on them. All right. So these are just things that I want to ask.
Oh you. Boy.
So let's put it like this. I think later on, I think I might make it a full solid 10 questions and call it surviving the 10 count.
Oh, you're not making me feel any better here, man.
Okay. First one. What's your worst fear?
Snakes.
Snakes.
Got hate them.
Got you.
My second one's heights.
Yeah.
So if you get me a snake on a ladder, I'm done. It's over.
Mine is living a life of insignificance.
See, that was a lot deeper, but you had something to think about.
But I've run this question by people, and that was actually my worst fear.
That's a good one.
Feel I mean, like I've, and that's not trying to spiritualize it.
No.
That's good. My worst fear.
Can I take mine back? Can I take your answer?
No. You can use it later.
Okay.
Who's your most influential person?
My most influential person.
And don't say Jesus. That's everybody's.
Okay. All right. I have so many. I mean, and it's all based on different. I know this is quick. I'm going to say my dad, gotcha. Even though, and I won't get into all that because that's a long story.
Yeah, but just to say him already means something.
Right.
Mine is one of my first spiritual fathers, Rick Clendenin, man. He was a fantabulous guy, man. I love that guy.
I want to caveat with that. My dad and my father-in-law, which kind of, those were the two influential.
Gotcha. You know, I'll have you on here again, so you can use him.
I can use that again. All right, I'm going to start saying, you'll change the question on me, so.
Yes, I will. What's the one item that your family says you can't live without?
One item? Can I just say my family?
No, the one item.
Okay, they're not items, right? Okay, that was very cold and callous, wasn't it? Gosh, I'm not really attached to a whole lot. Books, my books.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'd say my wife would probably say that mine is either going to be my cell phone or my Xbox.
That's good.
And my Xbox is my stress relief in the world, so she knows it's a time to connect. Yeah. But also, I take enough break from it. So
that's good.
But anyway, what's your dream job?
Dream job. You know what? I'm kind of doing it. Ministry. I mean, that's a calling. I don't know if it's actually even considered a job because I don't really look at it as a job. But that's my heart.
Yeah. Well, a dream job specifically means this. Doing what you love to do and getting paid for it.
Okay, well, I've got half of that.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So that's what you'd like to do.
Okay, here's the thing. Payment can come in different ways, right? Okay, so not necessarily monetary.
Money, yeah. All right. So mine, this is crazy, man. I've been like this ever since I was younger. And my dream job was to be a door kicker.
Okay. Yeah,
those that go in and rescue children.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted, because I grew up with abuse in my life, I wanted to be that guy to be the first one in there to rescue kids. That was always my dream.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's my wife, man. She's like, you know, I can't believe you want to do that. Oh, well, I've been there, so I would like for somebody to experience being rescued. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What's your most inspirational quote?
I don't think I really have one. I'll paraphrase. I like the scripture in the Bible, Luke 10 and 27, where the young rich ruler is talking about, Jesus asked him, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, love your neighbor with all your mind, heart. You know, he goes through all that. I like that because it grounds me. Okay, it tells me no matter where I'm at in life, that still applies. Now, that's not necessarily a quote. I guess it's a quote, but that scripture means a lot because one thing, it came from the guy and not Jesus saying, this is what you need to do. It was the guy recognizing this is what I need to do. And that's where sometimes in life, especially when we don't really feel God around us, we have to have something that's firm.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense.
Mine is what we do in life echoes in eternity. Goes with my favorite movie of all time, Gladiator.
Oh, okay. That's right. Yeah.
Maximus said it. Yeah. So I really enjoyed that. But hey, man, I appreciate you.
That wasn't too bad. That was all of them?
There's a few more. But okay, we get time. For time's sake. And plus, this will make it when I catch you coming back, I'll do some different questions.
I got you.
All right. But hey, I want to tell you once again, appreciate you so much for helping out with this podcast and for being
here.
Oh, man.
It's my pleasure. And it's my honor.
It's going to be a joy, man. I'm looking forward to many more days like this. And just thank you all for tuning in and listening to us today. What a great subject. What a good guest. Brent Williams here. I appreciate y'all. Y'all check him out. And then also thank you once again. I'm Will Grosskopf, the founder of Men's Fight Club, and thank you for joining us on In Your Corner podcast.
So there you have it, men. Thank you for letting us be in your corner today. I pray you continue to stay connected to us each week as we cover a new subject with other godly men who want to see you succeed. Don't forget to check us out at mensfightclub.net and also on Facebook at Men's Fight Club. To make sure you don't miss out on any up-and-coming topics, like and subscribe if you enjoyed what you heard. If you would like to join in supporting Men's Fight Club, click the link to donate. Remember, who you are and what you do are important to the kingdom. No one is meant to fight alone. Stay strong, stay connected, fight on.